Today's reading is from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 and 26 through 29 in the Common English Bible. When God began to create the heavens and the earth was without shape or form. It was dark over the deep sea, and God's wind swept over the waters. God said, "Let there be light," and so light appeared. God saw how good the light was. God separated the light from the darkness. God named the light day and the darkness night. There was evening and there was morning, the first day. Then God said, "Let us make humanity in our image to resemble us so that they may take charge of the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and all the crawling things on earth." God created humanity in God's own image. In the divine image, God created them. Male and female, God created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fertile and multiply. Fill the earth and master it. Take charge of the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, and everything crawling on the ground." Then God said, "I now give to you all the plants on the earth that yield seeds and all the trees whose fruit produces its seeds within it. These will be your food."
Abraham Lincoln once said these words, "I never behold the heavens filled with stars that I do not feel I am looking in the face of God. I can see how it might be possible for a man to look down upon the earth and be an atheist, but I cannot conceive how he could look up into the heavens and say there is no God." There are many times in our life when we have experienced someone asking the question of the very existence of God. Many of us in here today can honestly say, I'll be the first person to say, in my life there's been times that I question the existence of God. There's times now, as a pastor, that I could be led that way to question the existence of God. And when I get to them points in my life, all I do is I slow down and I look around and I can see God. Can any of you see God? You can experience God every day. Close your eyes. Just close your eyes. And as we sit here with our eyes closed, just sit here and think about the peace that you're experiencing. Now open your eyes. Can you see God? Immediately, if I was sitting on this side of the room, immediately I know when I'd open my eyes that my eyes would take me directly to this point. Like many of you, I connect with the cross. Connecting with the cross connects me with God, and I can see God, and I can experience God. Today we're discussing relationships, our relationship with God. And I really wanted to take Genesis 1 and really point a few things out to you. The author of the book of Genesis is telling us about the beginning of the world, the beginning of mankind, but he's also telling us the beginning of sin. The most important thing, though, is he's telling us this today. This is the first time man ever hears the voice of God. The first time man ever hears the voice of God. When Scripture 1 says this, when God began to create the heavens and the earth was without shape or form. It was dark over the deep sea, and God's wind swept over it. God's wind swept over it. Now, each of us have this preconceived notion in our head of what God is or what God looks like. Do we not? For those of us that are a little bit older in this room, we can sit here and we can picture God looking like George Burns from the old God movies. A stately old man who's quick with wit and kind of sassy and short and bespeckled. That's the God we image when we hear that. Others who are a little bit younger, we picture God being an African-American man with a real cool voice and got a sarcastic sense of humor from Bruce Almighty in the form of Morgan Freeman. My daughter, she seems to think that God must resemble James Earl Jones because of that voice. That's the voice when she thinks of God talking. That's the voice. Those of us that are older, we think that voice is the same guy that goes, Luke, I am your father. Or you are watching CNN. The man became a millionaire just because of his voice. And we picture God that way. But today we want to picture God a whole nother way. We want to picture God as the wind swept over the darkness. The wind swept over the darkness. We can't see wind. We can see the effects of wind, but we can't see it. We can't see spirit, but we can see the effects of spirit. And if we look at this scripture, it says this. God said, let there be light. And so light appeared. God was impressed by this and divided the light of day into the darkness of night. There was evening and there was morning. This was the first day. Nowhere in that does it say with the author of Genesis, and we question who was the author of Genesis. A lot of us like to think it was Moses. But the scholars, they like to think that it's a whole lot of other people. I like to think it was all inspired by God. No matter who sat down and told the scribes what to put on their papyrus as they gave the words to them, it was God inspired. And God nowhere in that opening stanza says anything about he reaches down and he takes this matter and that matter and he forms it together to make this perfect world that we lived in. It said God said. God said. Let there be light. Let there be light. And when he says that, it takes into this whole different image that we've got instilled in our minds that God's a human being, and God's not a human being. God is a spirit. He's the wind. He whips through here all over. We see him. We see him by the effects of what's happening because we know that he's there. Our faith tells us that he's there because he said that's what happens. He said. He didn't have to reach out and touch you and say, Sam, you're going to be tall. You're going to be a basketball player. He said, Sam, I'm going to make you tall. I'm going to make you a basketball player. He said these things. He didn't touch us. He said it, and so it was. Then, as we jump down, it says, in verse 26, the author says, Let us make humanity. These words are the first time anywhere in Scripture that we can connect with the Holy Trinity, folks. It says, let us. Now, you can look at all translations of the Bible, and everywhere it's going to use the word us. That's the first time you can see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all coming together to form humanity. Have you thought about that? The Holy Trinity working side by side, three in one, creating something so great in us that it became us. Now, in my case, I look at the Holy Trinity and say, well, you guys got a great sense of humor. I'm short, fall, you know, kind of falling out on the sides here a little bit. You know, got the little Dunlap hanging out in the front. Bald. Eyes that had to be repaired. Gallbladder that needed to be taken. Big, massive scar on the back of my head. They got a sense of humor. And each one of us can walk by that mirror and we can see our image, because the image was said that it would be there. The image of the Spirit cannot stand in front of a mirror that you see. You can only visualize in your mind. In our mind, we visualize different things. In the book, The Shack, God is portrayed as an African-American woman that looks like Aunt Jemima. And people argued when the author wrote the book, because God can't look like that. God can't look like that. People question what Jesus looked like. We have images on our walls in most churches. We've got them around here. We have images. Here's one here. It's a beautiful drawing. It's a beautiful picture. But it's not a Jewish man. Jesus came on the earth in the form of a Jewish man. But today in our world, we hate the Jews. They're terrible people. We hate the Jews. People are trying to wipe them out off the face of the earth. But we make Jesus what we want to make him. We make it something different than what it was said to be. It was said and it was done. Today I'm asking you, can you hear God? Can anyone here hear God talking to you? When I sit down and I pray, I feel God talking to me, because I take out all the noise of the world around me. The world is so full of noise. It distracts us from God. And the noise that we generate in our lives, it separates us from God, so we can't hear what he has to say. He spoke and the world existed. Matthew 8:13 says this. Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done." Jesus healed the centurion's son by speaking. He said, "It shall be done." John 11:43-44 says this. Having said this, Jesus shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his feet bound and his hands tied and his face covered with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Jesus spoke a person from the dead back into life. He didn't have to go in the tomb. He didn't have to reach down and say, "Get up, Joseph. You're no longer dead." He said, "Get up, Joseph. You're no longer dead," from outside the tomb. Mark 4:39. Then he arose and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace be still." That's talking about Jesus when he was with the disciples in the boat and the storm rained down on them. Jesus was laying back there in the back of the boat. He was getting some rest. He was getting some comfort. And they were terrified because the storms of life was too much for them. And they said, "Master, we are afraid. We can't handle this." And Jesus gets up and he walks to the bow of the boat and he says, "Peace." He says, "Peace, be still." And the water stopped like that. And the storms of life quit raging around the disciples because he spoke it into peace. Just with the power of his voice, he can stop it all. Now, A.W. Tozer says this. A.W. Tozer was a famous preacher from the 40s who wrote many, many, many sermons. If you ever get a chance to read anything by A.W. Tozer, read his sermons. This is a man who truly stepped back, blocked out the noise, and listened to God. And he says these words: "Whoever will listen will hear the speaking heaven. This is definitely not the hour when men take kindly to exhortation to listen. For listening is not today a part of popular religion. We are at the opposite end of the pole from here. Religion has accepted the monstrosity of hearsay that noise, size, activity, and bluster make a man dear to God." 1940s, he was talking about religion taking people away from God because they listened to too much other stuff. Outside stuff. The world rains stuff down on us. You ever played that game as a kid called telephone? I tried to talk Netta into playing it today with the kids during children's moments, but she was worried that they might be too young to understand what the game telephone was. But you start out here and you say something to somebody, and then somebody says something to somebody else, and somebody says something to somebody else, and by the time it gets all the way back over here to Sam, there's something's changed. Because somebody didn't quite hear it correctly. And they assumed they heard it that way. So they spread it on. And the next person assumes they hear it another way, and they spread it on. And that just continues to go. And during our minds, as we sit there and we wait to see what Sam's going to reveal as it worked their way around, we wait in anticipation. And then we start to question ourselves. Did we really hear what he said? Did he really say that? And a lot of times it's not that way. And Tozer is telling us that during our times in life, we get so wrapped up in things that we forget what God is saying. We totally blank it out. Our faith is there. We trust in God, but there's so much noise that we don't hear what God's saying to us. God speaks to us always. Many people in life have gone to this point that they think that God no longer talks. They think that in this first part of Genesis, where God speaks the world into existence and speaks humanity into what it is, and he names the creatures and everything on the world, they think that God gets quiet and he shuts up. God never gets quiet, folks. God's never been quiet. God is a pretty loud guy. If you're not hearing God, you're not listening for God. If you go and you pray and you ask for this and you ask for that, there's a reply. You've just got to take yourself out of the noise to hear what he has to say. God speaks volumes. Our entire Bible, Dave was just looking at one over there. We have them in the pews. I have 250 varieties of the Bible here on my iPad. I have 27 print forms of the Bible in my house, all different translations. Each one of you have different Bibles. Folks, this is God speaking. All of it. God's never quiet. He listens to us, then he speaks, and we miss it because we're not listening. We're not listening because we let the outside world cloud us, hamper us, take us away from God. Tozer concludes his sermon, and it's called The Speaking Voice, with these words. And this will be my conclusion for today. But we may take heart to a people caught in the tempest of the last great conflict, God says. Be still and know that I am God. And he still says it as if he means to tell us that our strength and safety lie not in noise, but in silence. But in silence. My prayer for you today, tomorrow, this week, next week, this month, the rest of your life is you find the opportunity to find silence so you can hear. I started out this day today mad, hurt, upset, angry, disillusioned for a reason. I end this day in silence because I'm willing to listen what God is saying to me. Please stand and join us in our closing. We have the opportunity to really experience the risen Savior, because this is a glorious day. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we depart this house today, Lord, as we leave, as we go out into this community, Lord, I ask you to bless us, to allow us to be in silence when we want to be loud voices. Allow us to experience what you want us to do, God. Lord, as we break from this room, we go into the next, as we fellowship together, Lord, I ask you to come upon this meal that you laid out for us, Lord. Use it for the nourishment of our bodies. Allow that meal to inspire our fellowship as we come together as a family. In your Son's holy and precious name, I pray. Amen.